There it is. Number two of actually four today, but two, number two of Rack and Stacks, and then number two of four virtual get-togethers today. So we are really having a hybrid Road Warrior week, are we not?
Oh, I mean, I got to tell you, it's amazing. Whenever we do this, Randy, I always sit and I think, I tell everybody, I said, you know, I put the sign on the door, I silence the phone, you know, do all the things. I said, we got a major Rack and Stack going. So yeah, they're great.
It is. It's a good time. And hey, it's just another sign of love what you do and do what you love, right?
And you know what? I do. So
yeah we do. And we are blessed. And you're just coming back off not too long ago, a trip to Orlando with one of your other great clients, Mighty Line Tape. Might as well give them a shout out. Why not? Did you like Orlando? You enjoyed International Drive, did you not?
I did. And I got to tell you, you know, it was one of the few places we always talk. You know, are people doing video, are people podcasting, are people, you know, taking advantage of that hybrid mindset that you embrace so much? And Randy, I got to tell you, it's one of the smaller shows that we've ever done. Yet there were probably, I'm going to say at least four or five actual studios that were built doing a constant, barrage of ongoing podcasting. I did see people, you know, even in the booth next to us doing video. So I think your message is starting to kind of leak out, and people are, starting to see it and realize, and not just yours, but, you know, other people that are doing that hybrid thing. So that alone, that and the fact that I got to do it with my awesome daughter, Carson, you know, was great. But it was a great visit.
Yeah, it was great. It's always fun to watch you and Carson together at the show. So if yeah. I'd have been home that week, because I was gone someplace, I think I was in Columbus, Ohio, or maybe I was in Branson, Missouri, I think.
Yeah, but you were. That's exactly where you were.
Yep. But I would have seen if I knew anybody, Wes Wyatt, that might have got me a ticket into the show and come up and saw you. But didn't work. So anyway, we, as usual, could chat and chat and chat, but we got the one and only Jay Money himself in the room. In
that's the right. House. Jay Money.
Jay yeah. Money. He's a legend in the world of finance and just a great guy. And I'll say the story for when Joel gets on how we met and the value of networking. I think it's a great little story. So you want to keep talking, or should we bring Jay Money on?
Let's bring Jay Money on.
Okay, but announce him right. I want to hear it.
All right. Jay Money.
There you go.
All right.
Let's do it. Oh, boy.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director, Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Jay Money himself. Joel, what's up, brother?
Good to see you, Randy. Doing great.
Good. You're looking good. You step to the side. We got to see your logo back there. Show us the logo.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is. All right. Now we're good. The J Money logo. So that's awesome. So, well, welcome. Thank you for jumping on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate the invite.
Well, of course. Well, I had to, because when we first met, you ask. So I had to say yes, right? that's one of those really fun things. So before we even get started, because I do want you to introduce yourself and who you are and what you do, and we're going to talk all about you. But folks, you know, if you follow me at all, you know that one of my biggest things is networking and visibility equals opportunity, right? And Joel and I were both together just a few weeks ago now in Branson, Missouri, at the first annual Post Frame Builder Show put on by Shieldwall Media. And both of us were presenters at the show. Joel was so kind as to attend one of my talks, and we were chatting about the blessing it is to have met so many really, really great people doing this show and other things that I do. And I said, people ask, how did you get some of those people how did you become friends with some of those people? And I said, it's really, really, really simple. It's a three-letter word. I just ask. right? What's the worst? The worst is to say no or not respond at all, or respond not nicely. But any of the above doesn't matter because I had nothing to start with, right? And Joel, who was sitting in the room, he says, I don't know if you raised your hand or not, but he says, I want to be on your podcast. And I said, yes. Right, Joel? Three-letter words, two of them. He asked, and I said yes. So, I mean, I think that's a great way to start this, only from the standpoint that you and I become industry friends already. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to become even better friends as time goes down because I think we appreciate what each other does, and you just never have enough good people in your life. So thank you for being there. Thank you for asking. And yes, you can thank me now for saying yes.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate being a part of the show. And like I was saying, the world really comes to those who put themselves out there. And, you know, there's an old saying, you kind of make your own luck in this world. And I believe in that. You know, if you really go for it in life, and a lot of that involves in creating new relationships and meeting new people, the world does come to you.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important when you do that, because if you set back and wait for everything to come to you and not put yourself in positions, not put yourself out there a little bit, I'm not saying you won't get some good things from time to time, because you will, just by mm-hmm. nature, it happens. But you can 10X, 100X, 1000X, I don't know how many X, a lot of X's, if you just put yourself out there on a regular basis and just be open to meeting new people and in and out of the industry too, which I think is important. And we talked about that a little bit a couple of weeks ago in Branson about, you know, mm-hmm. getting out of the groupthink, right? And getting involved with people that have nothing to do with what you do. And I think that's important too. But so before we start wandering too far, who in the world is Jay Money? Who is Joel?
Yeah.
What's the story here? I need to know about you.
Yeah. Jay Money is a, you know, started off as a nickname that I had for several years while I was in the banking industry. I was a banker for 25 years in various leadership roles with a couple of financial institutions. But before that, I think it really is important to know, you know, really where did I come from, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I came from a dairy farm in Northern Ohio, is where I was born and raised. And I had an older brother who became the dairy farmer in the family. So I had to find something else to do in life. So I went into banking. And never looked back, really enjoyed a great career in banking. And then at the age of 50, I decided, well, you know what, I may take a step aside from banking. It wasn't something that I planned spur of the moment, but I had been planning really for a couple of decades that, you know, when I turned 50, I was going to step away and start a business of my own. And at the time, you know, I had some Amish friends that needed some help with financing for some of their products. And that's how J Money was born, by helping some of them find a financing solution for some of their products. And in the name, J Money, my middle initial is M. And I signed my name for years and years in the banking world, J M Oney. And somebody by the name of Joe Duffy that I worked with said, oh, J Money. And it just... it just stuck. And so when we were deciding what to name the business, you know, we were just sitting there one evening talking a little bit about it. And, you know, Andrea, my lifelong partner, she says, Joel, why don't you just use your nickname, J Money? And I said, yeah, that sounds good. And that's all the thought we put into it. It's worked. And it's been a neat brand. And we use the logo that you see behind me, which is kind of like the rooster with the weather vane, you know, because the color red is barns. And that's where we started, was in the barn business. And the weather vane on top of a barn really creates, I think, a lot of great imagery. You know, you've got the arrow pointing ahead towards progress. And what we do is we help barn builders, and now really all contractors of all kinds, roofing and various things, to find financing solutions for their customers. So that's our one and only goal, is to help contractors finance their projects so they can do more business and grow their business.
Got it. Yeah. And you know, the J Money is just, just brilliantly brilliant. I mean, I would change your story. It's too late now because it's already out there. But I would.
How would you change it? I'd love to hear this.
Well, see, here's what I would do. I like the J Money, but I would go back and say, you know, this come after weeks, if not months, of arduous, tedious, late nights burning the candle to come up with the perfect name.
I think that would be a great story too. And so many businesses do that. They hire a branding company and they pay a marketing firm thousands and thousands of dollars to help them understand, you know, who they are and what their name should be and how they should go to market and those kinds of things. But I think sometimes things that come naturally are also really good. And I just had lunch with my great friend who's also my attorney. And we were talking about that, how sometimes the path that life leads you down just naturally sometimes is the very best path and can be a wonderful, wonderful course of action. And that's just what happened with J Money.
And I was being more tongue in cheek than anything else, because I love the fact that, you know, because people will think that enormous amount of time and effort was put into it, right?
Yes.
And it's really as simple as your partner says, why don't you just go with J Money? Yeah, it works. Let's do J Money, right? and to me, that's even a better story than hours and weeks and months of hiring 15 different agencies to come up with all their ideas and put all this and do focus groups and all that. Now we'll just go with J Money and it's just cool. So
which is another really great life lesson that I've learned in half a century on the planet, which is sometimes things are really, really hard, but they don't always have to be hard. Sometimes easy is the way, you know.
Easy is the way. I like that, because you're right. We tend more, some more than others, but I think people in general, we have a tendency to overcomplicate business.
Yeah, I think you're right. We as human beings can make things too complex, right?
We can make all relationships too complex. We can make personal, you know, husband, wife, or, you know, partners or kids, friends, business acquaintances. We can make it all just so complicated and so drawn out, and it really comes back to pretty simple. Doing business is not that hard, right? There's some few basic concepts, and just go be honest and trustworthy, and do what you say you'll do, and a few of the other things, the few of the other code words we all use, right? But it's not that hard, right?
Yeah, you know, really, at the core of our purpose for our business, and really the core of Joel Oney or J Money, is helping people. Two words. Over the years, I've kind of boiled it down to helping people. And, you know, if you can do that in life, in business, you can have a successful business if you're helping people. And that could be helping people to get the building that they want. It could be helping a contractor grow their business. It could be helping one of our team members to learn new skills and create, you know, additional income for them and their family. It could be a variety of different things. Mm-hmm. But at the core of my driving purpose, the why that gets me out of bed in the morning, makes me want to spring into action, is helping people. Sure. And you know, for me, that is the motivating factor.
There you go. And when your motivating factor is helping people, that sets you ahead of people that their only factor is simply making money. The money part's important. It's how we keep score. We have to do it. We want to do it. And probably more is better than less. But at the end of the day, you're not going to do the things. You're not going to take the extra 3, 4, 5, 6 steps it takes to really build that success if you don't care about people and you don't put their interests maybe ahead of yours at the time and really do what you're supposed to do. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. You know, you're right. I think that, you know, there's several ways of keeping score. It can be, you know, the growth of your business, number of units, but a lot of times it is, you know, at the end of the day, money. And I have a saying with my daughters, who are both grown and have turned into just wonderful young human beings. You know, I just say, hey, you know, money's not everything, but it sure comes in handy when it's time to pay the bills. And so yeah, it does. At the end of the day, we do have to make money and contribute to society in a manner to where we can be compensated for the effort that we put forth. But if you're doing that in a place or a field or a passion project that springs you into that on a daily basis. And the way I say it, when I know I'm really in my sweet spot in life, you know, eating and sleeping just gets in the way, right? When you,
right.
when you can work right straight through lunch or you work into the evenings or whatever, you can't wait to get out of bed in the morning. You know, you're really in your sweet spot in life at that point in time. And if you're finding yourself, you know, having to drag yourself out of bed and you're looking forward to your lunch break and you can't wait till the end of the day, you know, you should probably find something else that you love. That's a better fit for your why, maybe for your purpose, I think.
Well said, because you're right. There's so, and we've probably all at one time or another been there in life. I can remember some times where I was one of those, it's sad. It's Friday. You know what sucked about Friday? Was tomorrow Saturday. But you know what sucked about Saturday is that the next day, Sunday. And why did those days suck? Because Monday was coming again.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I would be literally that far out at times.
You'd ruin your whole weekend worrying about Monday, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it all for something that I 98% of how bad I thought Monday was going to be was never that bad. Mm-hmm. But I already made up my mind it was going to be that bad. And so not only did I have a bad Monday because I walked into a bad Monday that was self-developed in my own mind. But like you said, I destroyed my Friday afternoon, my Friday evening, all day Saturday and Sunday, for nothing. And there's with situations like that, there's only a few things you can do, right? I think either you figure out what's wrong with that scenario, and can I massage and fix it? And maybe you can't. And if you can't, then it's time to figure out an avenue, right? To move on to something that you can love and do.
Yeah, there's that really, I think, strong, balance between, okay, do I persevere in this and really try to continue to make the most of it and continue to do the right things long enough so that good things will come from it, or am I on the wrong path and do I need to take a different path, right? That's a big debate that a lot of folks have. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people stop short. You know, they before they get to that breakthrough, you know, level, and sometimes that breakthrough level can take 3, 4, or 5 years to get to. But then when you get to it, all of a sudden your business accelerates or your whatever endeavor you're in really accelerates quickly because you were laying so much groundwork that you didn't even realize because it wasn't creating a lot of results early on. But it was a groundwork that caused you to be able to reach that breakthrough moment. Right. And that's where a lot of the joy, satisfaction, and contentment comes from, you know, is getting to that point, I think. But sometimes, you know, if it is the wrong fit, don't waste any time. Do something different, right?
Right, right. As long as you – and a great point you just made. As long as you don't sell yourself short or do I have another week or two, a month or two, or maybe even a year or two of, I don't want to say pain, but not quite loving what I do, but boy, it's there and I know it's there and I still believe it's there. As long as you believe that, then I think that's okay. But like you said, a lot of people hit at, and we've all known them. I've been doing this for 30 years and I've got exactly 9 years. You know, 9 months, 9 weeks, 9 days, 9 hours, 9 minutes, 9 seconds to when I can finally retire and be out of this BS. And whoa, whoa, whoa. If it really is that way, why are you going to waste that next 10 years, right?
Exactly.
That's silly because you might not get the 10 years, right? You might get 10 minutes. So you probably should, you know, grasp on and enjoy that. So let's really get into talking about J Money. And I know you're in the building contractor business. You help people, you help contractors and barn builders and people finance projects. Let's walk us through who is J Money exactly, what you guys do, the services you offer, who can benefit from you. Give us this is the J Money infomercial. So let's go.
Yeah, sure. So I appreciate that. And the folks that can really benefit from a relationship with J Money are contractors, home improvement contractors who want to really grow their business. And that could be somebody who's building anything from, you know, a portable building that someone puts in the backyard to, you know, a barndominium and really just about everything in between. Right. And we started off in, like I say, the portable building business, helping some of my friends who were looking for a financing solution for their portable buildings. And we developed a lease purchase program, which, you know, has been known in the past as an RTO program, and helped them get that rolling. But I really quickly saw that we needed something better. And this is nothing to disparage the RTO. We still do some of that. But really felt like, you know, for larger buildings and people wanting to live in some of these buildings and just to find a better solution, especially for the pole building industry, they're built on site and there's no way to repo those buildings. We needed some better products. So we went out and we created, you know, some partnerships, in particular with a fintech called Upgrade, and basically brought that product to this space. And what that does is it gives a contractor a platform while they're talking with their client to where they can basically offer financing right there on the spot with a soft credit pool, determine whether or not this customer could qualify for some financing for the product, offer a payment solution rather than just saying, hey, here's this $50,000 pole building and, you know, go figure out how you're going to pay for it or pull this all out of your savings. And what that does is it helps contractors to sell more projects, to get more projects closed and across the finish line. And it increases the size of the project because if somebody, you know, knows they can get a competitive payment program, you know, maybe instead of buying a $50,000 building, they'll buy a $70,000 building because they can pay for it over 10 years at a decent rate of interest. And so that's really what we do is we help contractors to offer this financing to their customers to help them grow their business. And really kind of the thing that came out of this search for really great partners that could help us bring these additional financing solutions to the table is that we were able to move basically from the portable building business into any kind of home improvement, including sheds and garages and pole buildings. We do a lot of roofing contractors, and roofing contractors, you know, this product works great for them so that they can finance these, you know, metal roofs that people want, but maybe are a little more than a shingle roof. But gosh, if you can put it on a payment plan, you know, that helps to move more of those customers from prospects into closed deals.
Well, exactly. So it's obviously a great benefit to the end user, the homeowner. But as I listen to you talk about it, there's several aspects that come into play with the contractor, the builder, right? The barn builder, the roofer. It helps take it out of that dreaded world of transaction only, right? It becomes not just the price of this barn or just the price of the roof, because now if I'm that contractor offering this, that builder offering this, I'm offering you a service that maybe you can't get from somebody else. I don't know where I'm going to go get this 50 grand. I'd love this building, and this guy's 47 grand, you're 52 grand, but I can't get either one because I don't have any place to go get that money really, right? You offer me that option. All of a sudden, the price doesn't matter near as much, right? Like you said, you may even get more. Let's go ahead and put that porch on it, or let's go ahead and put the two cupolas and put an eyebrow or whatever, right?
Yeah, the roll-up garage door that I really wanted is, you know, now attainable rather than a sliding door or something, right?
Exactly. And so I think you get out of that transactional mode with the homeowner, and like I said, you I think you protect your profits. It seems like to me as a builder or an installer, because again, I'm of course I'm a little bit more, but can they get you any financing? I don't think so. No. Mm-hmm. Do you have the ability to get it? Not really. Well, then I guess I'm a pretty good choice, aren't I? Right.
Yeah. It really differentiates contractors. That's for sure. And really that's who our customer is. You know, our customers are contractors. Mm-hmm. We help them to facilitate their sales to their customers, which are the consumers.
Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, I would assume that your contract is sitting there with a computer, an iPad, or whatever the case. They're entering the information, the customer enters information. They're more facilitating it, because at the end of the day, the deal becomes between the homeowner and you, not the contractor.
That's right. The contractor facilitates the deal, but once the building is closed and the money is dispersed directly into their account, the building is complete. You know, the contractor's out of it at that point in time.
Right.
There's no recourse back to the contractor.
Got it.
But it's a tool that they use to facilitate the purchase. You know, it's not that much different. I hate to make this comparison, but it's a good comparison. It's a valid comparison. You know, when you go to buy a car, the financing is right there, right? Mm-hmm. You're able to finance it on the spot. The same is true for home improvements. You know, even these large buildings and roofs, metal roofs. You know, if you can do that financing there on the spot with a fast, easy, efficient, paperless process, and then the money goes right into the contractor's account upon completion of the project, or you can even draw down payments from the loan. Boy, that's a slick way to differentiate yourself in the marketplace.
Oh,
and there's ability to do promo rates. If a person wants to do some no interest or no payments for a certain period of time, you know, they can do some things like that. But, you know, a lot of times people just say, hey, you know, gosh, if I can offer a 10-year payment on this building or a 15-year payment on this building, boy, that really sets me apart in the marketplace.
Oh, it does. It does. And like I said, I'm really, my mind's going back to, you know, the value added for the homeowner to get some of the things that they would really like in a building. But if they're in cost-cutting mode because they can only afford about so much, they're going to end up maybe with not the building or the roof they wanted. But if they can have this available to them, all of a sudden they can add that porch. They can add that whatever it is, right? And I think they end up happier. And like I said, if every contractor that uses the program only added 10% more to the cost of the project because it's available to the homeowner to easily do it, that's like how many extra jobs a year is that, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a great way to expand the business without having to maybe expand the number of projects that you do by just increasing the ticket size or the price of the projects that you are doing. And so we find that there's statistics, you know, that support this, you know, out there that you can Google and find real easily. But really, it increases conversion rate, which is the number of prospects mm-hmm. that turn into customers, and it increases the size of the project by, you know, roughly 20% to 30%.
Wow. So, yeah. Well, that's huge. That's huge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the manufacturing world that I live in, you know, it makes sense because we talk a lot about share of wallet, right? Mm-hmm. We want to have, if I'm selling you, like, say, my fastener line, I want the other items too, if I can get them, all the ancillary stuff, you know, not just, I don't want to just sell you the building and not sell you the doors and the windows, right? Or in my case, if I'm selling fasteners, but I have adhesives and closures and underlayments and these things, I would like to turn every $8,000 order into a $10,000 order, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same concept. It's almost like you're allowing your contractor to get a bigger share of wallet on that that project, and I love it. I love it. So I would assume that's pretty painless and easy from your contractor's end to use your software. I assume it's a software based program where they just basically enter some basic information and swivel it around to the homeowner, and they probably put in some private stuff and it's approved or not approved somewhat right on the spot. Typically, is that how, is it that easy, or is it a little more complicated?
You've got a really great grasp of what it looks like. You know, the contractor can punch some information in with the consumer sitting across the desk from them, or they can send the consumer a link and they can plug the information in themselves. Bottom line is that the initial decision is a soft credit pool. So it's not a very threatening kind of thing for the consumer. They're not going to get hit on their credit bureau report until they know for sure that, this is what I want to do and go through with it. But you can kind of get someone pre-qualified for your project and have a decent idea of, okay, we could get this done. And, there's a payment calculator on there to where you can show the variety of upsells and so forth that you could potentially do with different products. So it's really a great tool for the contractors. And what we do with J Money is we help them to use it most effectively, right? How do you position it in your sales process? How do you promote it in the marketplace? How do you talk with your customers about it? And the best thing is that, you know, when the building's done, the contractor can just, you know, request the funds, the customer approves the request, and boom, the funds are right there in their account. So it's a good process.
It is. And I like what you just said. I think that's key is you're serving more than just being a loan officer, right? You're helping them market it. You're helping them use it to their advantage, because to me, as a contractor, what an advantage to be able to say, while maybe the wife's looking through the colors, because let's face it, let's be honest, probably not trying to sound sexist by any means, color selections are typically going to be made by the woman, right? That's just usually probably more so than not. My history tells me that. So, literally, while one's going ahead and punching in numbers, you know, you go ahead and start looking at colors. You can use the assumptive close, right? You know, while we're getting this information in, let's go ahead and, you know, because I know you're busy and I know you got to get out of here. Let's go ahead and start picking out colors. The beauty of that from a sales standpoint is you're continually walking towards that close, right? You're constantly doing little micro or mini closes all the way to the press here. Right.
And you're bringing down barriers, objections, challenges to that sale. And whether a customer admits it or not, they're not going to come in and say, you know what, I really like your buildings, but I don't have any money.
Right.
Or they might come in and say, well, I really like this metal roof. I've got $30,000 in the bank, but I'd really like to keep that in the bank because my daughter's getting married this year. Right. We got tuition payments coming up for the kids that are in college. Right. Or you know, I really need to trade my car and I need to do this and do that. So they may have another four or five uses that are competing with your building for that cash that's in the bank.
Right.
And you don't know what all those different barriers to entry may be when it comes to the financing. And a lot of times a customer is not going to give that information. So if you just lead with, well, you don't have to worry about any of that because we got a payment plan.
Right.
Then all of a sudden you've lowered or eliminated that out of the picture right from the very front.
Exactly. And you know, when you think about it from a sales standpoint, I love it. If the determination is made that they're going to be a payment buyer, right? And you said there's a payment calculator. So it's so much easier in my mind if it's going to be based on the building as is, it's only going to be $543 a month. We can have, that's actually a little less than I thought. That's great. But you know, you talked about the porch and we kind of left that off, but you know, I just did a rough calculation and again, I don't know if this is the way you teach it, but just thinking in my mind is it's not $9,000 for the porch. I'm just drawing a number. It's $97 a month.
$97 a month, right? You're
right.
Have your porch exactly too. The way you present it.
We
may have to hire you, Randy. You need an extra side gig or a side hustle. You know, we bring you in on.
Well, I got at least an extra hour to a month. I mean, I don't know what we can do. Well, you know,
that's if you skip lunch, right?
That's if I skip lunch, which I don't mind. But no, I'm fairly familiar with what you do because I have a son that's been involved and is still involved in roofing and other in-home sales, and they use this kinder. And I've listened to him talk about this for years on how he's very good at this, on how you convert that into a win-win for both. Because you're not selling the homeowner anything they don't want or need. You're just helping them get everything they want or
problems.
Need. Exactly.
Yeah, you're solving problems in sales. If you can solve problems, then you can create the opportunity for someone to buy your goods.
Exactly, exactly. So you've been doing this for a while. I know we're running the streamer across the bottom, the banner, but How big of an area? Because I guess really you could work anywhere in the U.S. with what you do, right? I mean, you're not locked in location-wise, or do you try to stay within a certain area?
We're not locked in any location. I mean, we have a fair concentration of clients here in Ohio where we're based, but we have clients from the Carolinas to Oregon to the West Coast and, you know, Texas, Wyoming. So we have clients all over that utilize. It's not something that you have to be right next door, right, be able to be face to face in order to utilize our services. 99% of what we do is over calls, just like this, and we can be extremely effective in doing so.
Oh, exactly, exactly. That's one of the many beautiful things. You know, you and I both come from the same place. That, you know, in person building relationships is where it's at. But you can broaden your horizon so much by taking advantage of the opportunities that technology gives us today. And here. You don't even have to like it. I talk about that a lot in a conversation that I talked about in Branson, was, you know, about using social media, for example. There's a lot of things you don't have to agree with or like, but they're there. And they're not going away. So it behooves us to take advantage of those opportunities and use them to our best benefit. And this is another great example of using technology as a builder, contractor, installer to just increase their business without any. And the beauty is, and I think it's important to go back to, with no extra effort. How long does it take to flip your PC open, or your laptop open, I should say, or your iPad open, and bring up the site and enter some basic information, hand it to Mr. Jones, and let him start putting some information in while you're kind of finishing up a couple of quotes or whatever you're doing? I mean, it takes almost no extra effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's still enough to do it.
Exactly right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And back to doing business, whether it's remote, by phone call, or face-to-face, shaking hands. And believe me, I really see the value in that as well. And we do try to get out and meet our contractors and see them. The thing is, though, is that really for us to be most effective for them, though, we have to deliver it this way, because, you know, if they have challenges or they want to train their sales staff, and maybe their sales staff are located in different locations, different branches, offices, right? We can be most effective this way with a digital delivery, right? Or a virtual delivery.
I love it. I love it. Well, Joel, I love what you do. I'm so glad that we got to meet in Branson. I did catch a little bit of your talk, which was very good, by the way, but I had this problem. Listen to Joel, which I really wanted to finish, or sell something. So I'm sorry. I sold something. I admit it. But I know you're in Ohio, so here's the deal. When I get in Ohio one of these days, we're going to have coffee together. What do you think?
Oh, I would really enjoy that. Better yet, we could have you over to the house. We could sit by the pool and really just enjoy a summer evening together. Maybe. How about that?
Hold on a second. I got flights, Delta. What are you thinking, tonight yet, or is tomorrow better?
Yeah, I'm free tonight. 4th of July is coming up, so yeah.
Perfect. I'm a soft sell kind of guy, but I'm a closer, and you, sir, just closed me on that deal. I'm coming. That's going to happen. So that
yeah, was well yeah. Done. I brought well the value, done. Right? So
oh, you brought the value, and I just bought all in, buddy. I'm there. It's a done deal. Just a matter of when. So yeah. Well, good. Well, Joel, as we end this, a lot of people have frequently asked questions. Really, what I'd like to know is, what about a should ask question? What do people, when you talk or when you give talks or when you're talking to contractors or people, talking to some knucklehead like me, what do you wish somebody would ask that you just, you know, that we didn't cover or that never gets covered? What's one of the most important things about this whole thing that people ought to know?
Well, I think there could be a couple of things, but the main thing that folks miss in offering financing is they miss the fact that this can be that valuable part of their sales process. It can be integrated into the process. It's not, you know, where you just would wait until somebody asks, well, do you have a payment plan that we could offer? And I think that that's what a lot of contractors feel most comfortable with, right? You know, they're more tuned into, hey, I want to build this building. You know, this is how we're going to build it. This is what it's going to look like, those kinds of things, helping to meet the customer's needs that way. And the financing only comes up if the consumer maybe asks about it, right? And so I wish maybe contractors would say, well, how do I offer this early in the process and work it into my presentation with my customer so that I can eliminate or decrease those barriers of, well, how's this thing going to get paid for in the process a little bit earlier? I think that that would be probably the thing that I would think that more contractors could ask. But they just, you know, we all get focused on what we believe our part of the business is. And a contractor might say, hey, my part of the business is delivering this building, you know, but to, in order for them to get that building in that project across the finish line, a part of that might need to be also the financing.
Right. Well, yeah, that part's, none of the above is going to happen without that. Right. Mm-hmm. So I loved your stance on that, and the way you would teach that and train that is you're so spot on. And I know just enough to be dangerous about what you do, but lowering that barrier almost right out of the gates, mm-hmm, is so important to the sales process. It's like, in my opinion, sales 101 that gets missed in sales in general is, if you have an area of weakness, which everybody has, if there's going to be something you're going to object to, let's get that out of the way early. See, mm-hmm, so many sales guys want to wait till the end and hope you don't bring it up, or hope it don't get mentioned, or hope I did such a great job.
You're talking my language now, Randy.
And as Marvin Montgomery, the sales doctor, good friend of Wes and mine, says, quit hoping, quoting and hoping.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of his, and I've listened to his talks many a time. We get together for breakfast. We're really good friends. But one of his best statements is, quit quoting and hoping. And if there's something I know you're going to not like about what I have to offer, I'm not going to come out blatantly say, hey, by the way, Joel, just before we get started, you're going to really hate this. But we're going to work that in fairly early. Like, could be, you know, we're very, very, it's all packaging, right? We're very busy because we do a pretty good job at what we do. People really like to deal with us, and we're blessed. So I hope you're okay that the time frame's probably going to be a little further out than maybe you're thinking. Right. If I know that's going to be and I'm just picking that one out talking. Right.
Yeah.
But if I know that that's a bit of a weakness, because there's probably 12 other people that could start next week, I'm going to also paint, without being derogatory towards anybody, if I can do it next week, that means I don't have a lot of businesses or reason for that, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But if you hang in there with me, you know, here's what you're going to get. And so I think it's important with this is to get that out early, is, because like you said, it may change the whole flow of how that husband and wife, partners, whatever they are, look at the project. Because all of a sudden they're going, so maybe we can go ahead and do this and do this and do this. And when you've eliminated that barrier, now all of a sudden you're kind of pals and buddies and friends, and you're doing that whole trusted advisor thing, and exactly, and you don't have that nonstop, yeah, but I know, but at the end of this thing, going to want to know how we're going to pay for it, and I don't have any idea, right?
The most valuable, it seems like, skills in sales are asking questions and listening and trying to understand what the person's needs are and what the potential barriers are early, and knowing what your value proposition is, right?
Exactly.
And so in banking for 25 years, one of the things I always talked about was, you know, what's our value proposition? Mm-hmm. And if somebody doesn't meet our value proposition early on, you know, and we did mostly farm agricultural lending is what I was involved with. And if any of our loan officers really came to us with something that didn't fit our value proposition in the banking world, you know, I would really question, well, how much research have we done with this customer? Have we almost pre-screened the customer to understand that they're a good fit for us, mm-hmm, instead of just going and say, hey, you know, can we do your business, right?
Right.
Can we build your building? Can we put your roof on? You know, so I think you're so right. A person can really do a lot of preemptive objection lowering early on in the process. And then really they know that, okay, yeah, now I've got something I can really run with.
Right. Exactly. Joel, beautiful stuff, as I knew it'd be. I appreciate you being on. So if they go to J Money anywhere, they can find you, correct?
Yeah. JMoneyLLC.com. And you know, all of our connections are there to social media, beautiful, phone numbers, emails, those kinds of things. Perfect.
And I take it you're always hoping for new business, right?
Oh, you know, we're a growing business for sure.
Absolutely. Love it. Love it. Joel, thank you so much for being on. I appreciate you. And Pool, tell you what, I might bring the Dr. Pepper too.
Randy, you're welcome. Just you let me know when and we'll sit poolside.
Love it. It's a deal, my friend.
All right.
Joel, thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate being a guest on your
show. Absolutely. Appreciate you being here. You have a great day.
Yep. You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye. All right. J Money has been in the house. That's some good stuff right there. Great guy. Met him personally, like I said, in Branson, Missouri a few weeks ago. And I cannot say enough the importance of what this kind of program can offer. And I'm a pretty good judge of people pretty quickly. Joel and his organization are the real deal. And what I really love is they'll help you as a contractor, installer, builder to market and to how to sell the product. It's more than just what's the loan amount going to be and how many dollars is that going to be per month. There's a lot more to that that can be a big part of you gaining a bigger share of wallet on every job. So reach out to Joel. You'll thank me. You'll thank him. Anyways, that's it. Another day of living it, loving it, owning it, doing what we love and loving what we do. That's what Wes and I do every single day. That's what you need to do. Well, for now, just go out there and make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.